The reading is taken from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Hear the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand.
And as we come to the passage that was read to us just now, chapter 6 and verse 10, the first word that you took notice of was the word finally. Isn't that encouraging? So after all these many months, we come now to the conclusion of what the Apostle Paul has been teaching us in this epistle. Now, just for a minute, let us recap so that you can see the lovely flow of where he has taken us. The main theme of chapter 1 to chapter 3 was on the wonder of our conversion. That really, in summary, is what Paul was teaching us. He was reminding us that you and I, remember in chapter 2 especially, were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. We were separated from God. We were heading to a lost eternity, and we were unable to do anything by ourselves to come back to God. And therefore, we were dependent on a gracious, merciful God saving us. And so God the Father elected you before the foundation of the world. God the Son shed His blood on the cross for you and for me. And then God the Holy Spirit sealed that work when He drew you to Christ. So the work of conversion is a marvelous one. And at the end of chapter 3, we ended on a doxology, where all that Paul could do when he surveyed this was to bring his praise to God. But in chapter 4, he then went one step further, and he showed us how we are now drawn into a brand new family, called the family of God. Here we are brothers and we are sisters. All the barriers that the world has put up are smashed. There's no more race barriers. There's no more Jew and Gentile barriers. We are now one glorious family in the Lord Jesus Christ, each with our own gifts, using them for the extension of the kingdom. In chapter 5, he then said, well, this is the salvation. This is the church that God has drawn you to. Now he applied it. And he said, this is how you should live at home. If you claim to be a Christian, filled with the Spirit, that's how you live at home. Brothers and sisters, the home is the test. How are you at home? He went through the wife. She's a wonderful helper to her husband. The husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. The children come and submit to their parents and obey. The parents come to teach and love and discipline their children. And then we moved out of the family into the workplace. And that's the employer that a Christian should be. That's the employee that God wants us to be. Incredible how the Bible related to all those areas. And now, finally, there's one last thing that the apostle wants to teach you and I from this great and wonderful book. And it is this, that friend, you and I are in a war. The Christian life is not easy. When you become a Christian, you enter into a battle. Finally, that's what he wants to tell us. And this morning, we are going to focus on our enemy. I'm afraid to tell you. Who is he? What is it like? The enemy. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said these words. I am certain, he said, that one of the main reasons for the ill state of the church today is the fact that the devil has been forgotten. All is attributed to us. We have all become so psychological in our attitudes and thinking that we are ignorant of this great truth. And that is of the fact of the being and the existence of a devil who is our adversary and his fiery darts. On a sad note, friends, all around the world today, we are remembering Steve Irwin. It was a sad thing for me when I heard at Synod of his death. Mary and I loved watching his programs. It was one dart from a stingray that killed Steve. And you know, my dear friends, this morning, it took one dart from Satan to pull down bishops, theological professors, Christians, Sunday school teachers, those who were walking with Jesus, when a stingray sent an arrow, and because the Christian was not prepared and ready, they fell. So what I'm saying to you this morning is not irrelevant for you. If you don't listen, in a sense, we're going to fall and get hurt. Because our enemy is powerful and subtle and wicked. The first thing I want you to know then is, how do we prepare? How do we prepare for this battle? How do you and I make sure that we're going to get through to the end? How do we say to our children, this is what you must do so that you don't give in to the temptations that he is going to throw? Well, listen one more time. See in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We are reminded that it is only the power of God that can deliver and defend us from the might, the evil, and the craft of the devil. And my dear brothers and sisters, to the extent that a Christian is strong in the Lord, his victory over the worst that Satan has to offer is guaranteed. The most important thing that you can do when you leave our church this morning is to go with a greater urgency and determination to be strong in the Lord. To have a Christian life that is strong. To have a walk with Jesus that is vibrant. That is the greatest need in our lives. We must be strong, not in ourselves. Not thinking we can do it. Not thinking we've got the answers. No, no. Strong in the Lord. Not only in the Lord, but it says, and in His mighty power. You and I know that that mighty power of God has done many things through history. But the greatest things that that mighty power of God has done is, number one, create our universe. It was by His strength that God created the heavens and the earth. God has brought this world into being. God has created all things out of nothing. What a mighty, sovereign, majestic God. And the other great miracle was when He raised Jesus from the dead. In His power and His great might. And so finally, I want to remind you, you're in a battle. The enemy is going to do all he can to cause you to fall. He will never stop. Therefore, be prepared. Walk with God. That's such a small thing. When I was growing up, as a little guy at home, we were brought up in Boksburg. My mom and dad always had lots of music in the home. And as a little guy, I can remember when my mother used to play us good music, always saying to her, "Mom, why don't you play for me?" Remember that song, "I Walk with God" by Mario Alonso? It's old fashioned and all of that. But yeah, so that's what I want. I want Mom to walk with God. That's all I want. That's how you prepare. And depending on that relationship, my friend, is going to determine whether you are going to see the end as a Christian. The preparation. Number two, the provision. What has God provided for us? See the next verse, 11. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand. What I'm going to do with you next Sunday morning, I hope you'll be able to come back to us, and the following Sunday, is show you how to put on the armor. But just to mention it as we are going through the verse, what does that say? Paul, in getting us ready for the battle, says, put on the full armor of God. That means on your head, covering your mind, covering your eyes, covering what you listen to, is the helmet of salvation. Without the helmet of salvation, we are finished. We'll be led astray at university. We'll be deceived with false teaching. We'll be led astray by the temptations of the world. We'll see things that we know Jesus Christ doesn't want us to look at, and so on. We'll yield to that unless we've got the helmet. We'll put that on next Sunday, but we've got to have the helmet. Covering your heart, covering your lungs, this vital area of our being, is the breastplate of righteousness. We need to know that we are living a godly life. We'll apply that to you next week. The helmet of salvation. We need the breastplate of righteousness for our feet. We need the gospel of peace. That gives us security. Interesting thing when you read that book called Shaka by Ritter. He tells us that when King Shaka took over the Zulu nation, the first thing he did was he got all his warriors to take off their shoes. And he made them train on thorns. Their feet were as hard as nails after a while. That made them quick, and it made them run over any terrain. He was right. If you got the wrong shoes on, you finished. You can't run the Comrades Marathon in rugby boots. You can't fish on the rocks in a pair of running shoes. You got to have the right shoes. When people face great heartache, when disappointments come, when tragedies come, if somebody hasn't got the gospel of peace, what happens? They are bowled over. They lose control. They can't cope. So we need the helmet. We need the breastplate. We need the shoes. We need the shield of faith in our hand. And we need the precious word of God. Friend, we've got to put on the armor. Once that armor is in place, it says we will be able to stand firm. The preparation? Finally, strong in the Lord. Put on the armor. That's your provision. If only David had had on the armor, he would never have fallen. If only Solomon had had on the armor, he would never have fallen. If only Abraham had had on the armor, he would never have fallen. If only Samson had had on the armor, he would never have fallen. If only Peter had had on the armor. You see, friends, the moment that armor is not on, the devil knows when to strike. Oh, must be on. Well, just thirdly, who then is the enemy? What does Paul tell us here about our enemy? Our world laughs at us, don't they? They draw funny sketches with this little person with a long tail and a spear in its hand, or a fork. Laugh at the devil. Let me tell you this morning, if I may, the devil is never to be laughed at. He's defeated, we know that, by Jesus. But he is real. I personally believe in a real, real devil. Now what does Paul tell us about him? The Bible gives me three characteristics about this devil who is our enemy. The first characteristic is he is deceitful. The devil is deceitful, my friends. You will remember that having been cast out of heaven, he was filled with fury and envy. His hatred was now directed against God and God's people. His purpose is simple. He wants to dethrone his great enemy. He wants to cast all of God's people into hell. He walks around as a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. And he does have a very well organized and a very powerful army to assist him. And his first characteristic is, he is deceitful. Put on the armor so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Let me tell you, my friends, he is a schemer. He came to Adam and Eve right in the very beginning. And he said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Because God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be open and you will become like God. You see, that was a lie. It was a lie. And that's how he started. He mixes truth with a little bit of error and he tries to deceive the people of God. 2 Corinthians tells us Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Other times he comes as an angel. He is a deceiver, friend. He's a deceiver. He mixes truth error. He appears to be so nice. Remember Debbie Boone's song? It was number one on the hit parade. How can something be wrong when it feels so right? That's what she said. There's nothing wrong with promiscuity. There's nothing wrong with adultery. There's nothing wrong. How can it be wrong if it feels so right? The devil hasn't changed. He's deceitful. He lies. He promises things that are not true. He's not only deceitful, but number two, he is powerful. See, it says in verse 12 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world. Our difficulties, dear friends, are far greater than if we had to fight against people. Because then we can resist human strength with human strength. Sword with sword, man with man, woman with woman. Force would be met with force, skill with skill. But now it's different. We are up against the devil. He is a liar, a deceiver, and he's powerful. Charles Hodge was a great commentator years ago, and he wrote these very, very moving words. He said the Christian conflict, it's not only real, it's difficult and dangerous. It's one in which true believers are often seriously wounded. Multitudes of reputed believers entirely succumb. It's one in which great mistakes are often committed, serious losses incurred from an ignorance of its nature and the appropriate means of carrying it on. He is deceitful. He is powerful. And thirdly, he is wicked. Absolutely wicked. It speaks of the spiritual forces of evil. And I don't know, there are times in my own life when you look at the papers and you watch your television and you think, what is our world coming to? Don't you sometimes say that? It's so much evil. It's evil. You look at the movies that are put onto the screen. Sometimes it's nothing. It's evil. The things that are put forward are evil. The pornography is evil. The drug thing today is evil. It's so much evil. And when you see that, you become conscious that, you know, the Bible's right. The Bible's right. It's not just different political views. It's actually a war between Satan and God. Between the seed of the woman, right back in Genesis, going right back there where God promised that the seed of the woman, which was pointing to Jesus, would crush the seed of Satan, but he would bruise his heel. It hasn't stopped. From Genesis chapter 3 to today, it goes on. Between Cain and Abel, between the people of God and the people of the world, between the world and the things of Jesus, it goes on and on and on. It's evil. It's deceitful. And it's powerful. And it goes on all the time. And so our enemy is not to be laughed at. We ought to be on our guard. That we have got on our provision. And we have been thoroughly prepared. Just number four, the battle. It tells us here that we wrestle. We wrestle. We fight. We struggle. It is like a wrestling match. We struggle. Because so often it is the evil one that will come and tempt us as Christians not to be so committed to Christ. He will tempt us, not necessarily with sin, But he will tempt us by pulling things into our lives that will detract us and take our attention off Jesus. It's a massive thing there. Things that are not wrong, things that may be nice and right, but when you pull them together, they take us away from an all-out commitment to Christ. There's nothing wrong with television, for example. Now, I'll enjoy watching Supersport. Nothing wrong with watching the animal program. Nothing wrong with watching the news programs. But if you watch too much, it takes you away from Christ. It takes too much time. Imagine if we had to spend all those hours that we spend watching the box to reading the Bible. You see, that's just what he does. He wants us to become so engrossed in our work that our family life suffers. You see, it's a subtle thing. It's subtle. All the time he's working, 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 working. What is he doing? He wants to take us away from Christ. Wants us to take us away from our homes and our witness. The battle rages on. And then to end off on a great note, number 5, and we'll pick us up for you next week, the victory. So what is the victory? Therefore, put on the armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Oh, that's lovely. A young girl who says no to her boyfriend before they get married. Fantastic. Well done. Put on the armor so that you can stand when the temptation comes. The young student learning at university that the Bible isn't the Word of God, and he walks out and he says, no, it is. That's what we want. Friend, it's a battle. It's a struggle. Be on your guard. One dart from a stingray has taken Steve from us. Be careful that the darts of Satan don't get to you and take you away. Stay with God. Stay with Christ. Saturate yourself with the Bible. And what we'll do next Sunday, he's put on the first 3 pieces of our armor. Can we pray? Father, we would rather not want to hear all of this, but thank you that it's so relevant. The devil is all around us. And you exhort us to be strong and to walk with God and to put on the armor so that we will not give in. And I pray that you will bless each one of my brothers and sisters here. Help us all to be strong. Amen.